I'm speaking with Robbie LaValle, who's president of the Colorado Cattlemen's Association. She's a cow-calf producer from Hotchkiss, Colorado, and her family and five other ranching families cooperatively own Homestead Meats. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the GPSA rule and how that may impact her own family operation. Robbie, first of all, why don't you tell me a little bit about Homestead Meats?
Homestead Meats is a partnership with six ranching families, six long-term ranching families that have been in the cow-calf business for 100-plus years. And in 1995, joined forces to direct market beef and subsequently have purchased a small processing plant that is a USDA-inspected facility in order to, one, improve the market structure and to take advantage of the genetics of each of the cattle, but also to, again, market direct to the consumer and take out some of the ups and downs that that occur in the marketplace.
And now, Robbie, I understand that you've been a cow-calf producer all your life. Tell me a little bit about your background and your own family's involvement in the cow-calf industry.
Well, again, I've been in the cow-calf business all my life, first growing up in northern Wyoming and now in west central Colorado, where my husband and his brother and our families ranch together and produce calves for not only the Homestead Meats, but for the Cargill as well.
And you also have two sons, and they then would represent a fourth generation in the livestock business, right?
They do.
And then that's important perspective here, because as we talk about the GPSA rule, it's our understanding that the idea behind this was to actually help small and medium-sized livestock producers like yourself. What do you think about it? From what you've seen of this proposed rule, how do you think it might impact someone like you?
When you read through all of the definitions and you see some of the vagueness in there, that's our innovation and our willingness to take that market risk by stepping out there and doing that direct marketing has basically now labeled us a packer, and under the proposed rules, as I read it, now limits our marketing options, meaning not being able to sell to other packers. What's going to be a result is we've stepped out and become a packer, and now we're going to have our marketing options limited. Now, there's several out there that say that's not the intent, but certainly because of the vagueness and because of some of the language that is in the proposed rules, that's exactly what's going to happen.
As you said, this is a family business. This isn't just something that you do for a job. This is a living for you, and as something that's been in your family for three generations, and you're looking at something that your boys will take over. What do you think that there's a possibility that this rule could decrease the likelihood of your boys taking over your operation?
We've always been able to adapt, but again, it's that increased government intervention and that increased potential litigation. When we operate on such a thin margin already in all of the enterprises that we do, it is a very thin margin. And so that potential for additional, government intervention or increased litigation just reduces that margin even more, then that does have an impact. Is there enough of a margin to bring in that fourth generation? So I do think that we need to have these willing buyer, willing seller without the government intervention or that constant threat of litigation that will only harm those individuals that have been innovative and have been able to take advantage of the higher quality genetics and have up to this point been rewarded. But under the proposed, where those then become subject to higher scrutiny, then there will be a backing away of those more innovative and those increased quality agreements that have been in place and have rewarded the small and medium-sized producers and processors out there.
So what specifically would you like to see done regarding this proposed rule?
What I would really like there to be is where is the additional research that shows that there is problems out there in the marketplace, and that these proposed rules would actually do anything to address those problems. First of all, what are the problems that are truly impacting rural America, and do these rules as proposed or even modified, how do they actually help rural America? And that's what I really would like to concentrate on, this, what is the cost-benefit analysis of these proposed rules, and does A plus B truly equal C? And that's where I think that there needs to be that in-depth analysis and long-term comprehensive look at this, and does what is being proposed actually accomplish what the desired outcome is.
Was this a surprise to you when this rule was proposed just very shortly ago? We're only talking about 6 or 8 weeks ago that they proposed this rule, and it seems like they want to get it done like right now. Are you
right.
Fearful of that? Do you have a real concern about that they're pushing something through that they have no idea what the impact is going to be?
Yes, I think that should be a huge red flag for all producers, no matter what segment is. Why, when there are such broad, sweeping changes here, do we need to rush it through? Let's thoroughly look at it. Let's have the documentation. Let's do the cost-benefit analysis. Let's really look at the unintended consequence. There is no need to rush this through. So, yes, the rush to push this through is a red flag and should be a concern to all producers.
Well, there is going to be a workshop that was already set up for next week in Colorado, and it's going to be turning into, this is going to be a big focus of it. How are you going to be involved in that workshop coming up next week in Colorado?
I will be part of one of the producer panels at the Fort Collins workshop and providing testimony that way.
What would you say to other cow-calf producers like yourself regarding this proposed rule? What should they do?
I truly want all producers to take a hard look at the full proposal and really have a clear understanding of the long-term implications here. Do we truly need to go back to commodity pricing when we have all worked very hard to improve the product that we provide to the consumer? We all produce a product that we're proud of, and there should be a reward for producing a higher quality product. Do we truly need to go back to one price fits all because of that increased litigation and government intervention? Do we need somebody sitting behind a desk to determine what's a fair price? And that unintended consequence is really what I'd like, again, all producers to take a hard look at and to have the full information to evaluate that. We just don't have the full information of the unintended consequences of this proposal, and that is what is needed.
Now, I understand that we're in the middle of a public comment period right now on this proposed rule. It was scheduled to end on August 23rd, but they did extend that now for another 90 days through November 22nd. Would you encourage producers to have their voices heard on this?
Yes, there's written comment that can be provided now. Certainly public testimony at the Fort Collins workshop, but I would encourage, again, all producers to provide that written comment. And that is the process for that is available on the USDA website. It's available in all of the commodity groups' website, how to do that. Again, provide that written comment and really show that we need to really do the analysis on this, address the issues, but look at these unintended consequences and the long-term impacts before just making sweeping regulation changes without that thoughtful process.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your input on this issue, Robbie. That's Robbie LaValle, who is the president of the Colorado Cattlemen's Association and a cow-calf producer in Hotchkiss, Colorado. I'm Cindy Zimmerman reporting.